Boker Tov, and welcome back to our ongoing series of Shiurim and Daf Yomi. We are now in Ketubot, Daf Kuf Vav, Amud Bet, at the very, very bottom of the Amud. And the piece that we have coming up is really the explication of the Mishnah back on Kuf Dalet Amud Bet. So let's take a look back for a minute at that Mishnah, and we'll see what the actual gist of it is. What we studied in the last podcast, which was two daf worth, was about the Shnei Dayanei Gzeirot and who they were. So now back to the Mishnah. Shnei Dayanei Gzeirot Hayu Bishalayim, Admon v'Chanan ben Avishalom. Chanan omer Shnei Dvarim, Admon omer Shiva. And we're going to look now at one of Chanan's decrees. Mishalach Mdinat Hayam v'Ishto Tovat Mezonot. If a man went overseas, and his wife now comes to the Beit Din and says, I need food. Chanan omer Tishavah Basof V'lo Tishavah V'Tchilah. She takes an oath at the end, and she does not take an oath at the beginning. At the beginning means when she's coming to claim the mezonot. What does at the end mean? So Rashi says that at the end means when we find out that the guy has died and she's coming to collect the ketubah, then she has to take an oath that she didn't have any, doesn't hold to have anything of her husband's. The Rambam has a very different take on it, and he says Tishavah Sof means that when the husband comes back and claims that he did leave her money for food, then she has to take an oath to the fact that she didn't receive any such money, and therefore she was entitled to the money she collected. In any case, Nechlekuala B'nei Kohanim Gdolim V'yamru, so the B'nei Kohanim Gdolim disagreed with Chanan and said Tishavah B'tchila B'sov, she has to take an oath both at the beginning and the end. Amar Bidosa Ben Horkinas Kedivrehem, he supported their position. Amar Yochum and Zaka Yefeh Amar Chanan Lo Tishavah El B'sov, Rabbi Yochum and Zaka, he supported Chanan, and indeed that is the halacha, that she takes the oath only at the end, whatever the end is. Now, flip ahead to Kuf Vav Amud Bet at the very bottom, and now we get the quote of the actual text of the ruling, as opposed to the preface about the Dayanei Gzeirot that led to our long discussion about Shochad, etc., and how we pay Dayanim. Mishalach Mdinat Hayam, Itmar, Rav Amar, Poskin Mezonot Leishadish. Rav had the position that the Beit Din will make an allotment of Mezonot for a married woman whose husband is gone. Shmuel Amar ain't poskim mezonot leishadish. She said, we don't do so. Now, it seems from our Mishnah, Shmuel's in a very difficult position saying this, so he's going to have to defend himself. Amar Shmuel. So Shmuel, first of all, lays out the contours of the machloket. Modeli Abba, Abba, which was Rav's name, Abba Aricha, he said, Abba agrees with me, b'shlosha chodashim arishonim, that during the first 3 months that the husband is gone, that we do not give him mezonot. That he agrees with me about. Nobody leaves and leaves the house empty with no food. And if we hear that the fellow has died overseas, you know, everybody agrees that we give him a zonot. They already takes the position that Rav says. When is their disagreement, Shmuel and Rav? When the fellow's overseas, he's been gone a few months, we don't know what's happened to him. Rav Amar Poskin, why? We give her money because we give her food because the husband owes her food. Shmuel Amar ain't poskin my time. So we have a dispute about why Shmuel said that we don't give her the money. Rav Zvid Amar ain't matzrori atpasa, that we have a concern that perhaps the husband really did give her some stuff and metaltalin that she could use to sell for food. That we're concerned that maybe the two of them made a deal where she is not getting fed by him. She's working, and she gets to keep her own salary, and is not fed by him. Now, my Benayu, how do we split the difference between Rav Papa and Rav Zvid? Ike Benayu Gdola Velo Safka. If you had, remember, my Tzori Atpasa requires an adult on the receiving end. So, therefore, if you have an adult woman, and she's somebody who's not necessarily working that much, and therefore there's no way that her wages would be greater than the mezonot, so they wouldn't have made that deal. Then it's only Rav Zvid's position, that Rav Zvid's explanation that would make sense, not our papa's. Inami k'tana v'safkar. Just flip it. We're talking about a k'tana, where there's no way that he could have been matfisur, but she happens to be working and making good money. They may have had the deal where he doesn't feed her and she keeps her own salary. Good. So that'll split the difference. Now, Tanan, let's look at our Mishnah. Mishalach Mdinat Hayam Ishto Tovat Mezonot, Chanan Amar Tishavah Basof Lo Tishavah Batchila, Chavah B'nei Kanoanim Gdolim Amut Tishavah Batchila Basof. That's the Mishnah. The only disagreement is about the oath of a Mazoni Avinu. Everybody agrees that we give her Mazonot. Again, like I said, Shmuel's position is very difficult. So Tirgama Shmuel, Bishasham Bo Shemet. Shmuel says that we have to interpret the Mishnah as a case where we know that the fellow died. So if that's the case, then Tishavah B'Tchilah B'Tolos Tishavah Asof, that's why Rashi says what he does, that the Tishavah Asof is when we know for sure that he's died, and she collects the Ketubah. Toshma, Misham Dechadat, Halach Ndatayah, Mishto Tovat Nizonot, similar to our Mishnah, B'nei Konim Gdolim Amim Tishavah, Hanan Omer Lo Tishavah. So we have here a slice of our Mishnah where we're just talking about the oath about the Mizonot. But if the husband comes and then says, I did give her mizonot, neman, we believe him. So this must also be a case where we heard that he died. How can you say we heard he died? The second clause in that statement is, if the husband arrives and says, I did give her mizonot, then we believe him. The answer is, in other words, the husband went away, and according to Shmuel, we're not giving her mizonot. And then there was a report that he died, so then Shmuel says, I agree that we give him a zonot. And then the guy shows up and says, I'm pasakti la, then we believe him. So toshma, mishalach natayam ishtotavat mizonot, again, v'imbavi amart si'ima se'adach mizonotayich, and the fellow came and said, I made a deal with her that she's not going to be fed, and that she'll keep her own wages. Rishoy, that works. Kadmu Beit Din Uposku, but if the Beit Din went ahead before they heard about this deal and they gave an allotment and they said we're going to seize from the property in order to feed her, Masha Pasku Pasku, that's valid. So Achanam Misham Mushab Moshemet, again, it's the Shmuel will say, and he'll have to explain all of these circumstances as a situation where we heard that he had died. Toshma, Mishalach Ndatayam, Mishtotavat Nizonot, again, the same case. Beit Din, Yordin Lanachasav, so the Beit Din goes to his property. They feed his wife. They don't feed his sons, his daughters, and they don't give her davar acher. We'll see what that is. Amar Rav Shesha. So how do we explain this situation? It sounds like a situation where the guy's alive, and we haven't heard anything about him being dead, because if we did, then we'd have to feed his children also, because there's an inheritance. So Amar Rav Shesha, Mashret Ishtoi de Shalish. We're talking about a circumstance where the guy went away, and he appointed a middleman to take care of his wife. We had that earlier on in the sixth parak. He achi banav no tav nami. So then it should be the truth about his kids also. The answer is kshishra lezuv lo ishra lezu. He appointed a middleman for his wife and not for the kids. So my paska, how can you arbitrarily say that that's what happens? So that we don't buy that explanation. Ala amar of papa, kshishama bo shemet be'ed achad. Here's what happened. One witness came and reported that the guy was dead. Now remember what we learned at the end of Yevamot, a whole several prakim worth, is that if one witness comes and testifies that a man is dead, in certain circumstances, the woman can remarry. But that, of course, does not allow the heirs to begin to enjoy the inheritance. So therefore, if we have a situation where one witness came and said he died, he, as far as the wife goes, the ibayit in subi be'ed achad, since she could marry based on one witness, matzi min sabah, so mizoni nami avinanla. Therefore, we also give her mizonot because, from her perspective, the husband's dead, and therefore we're giving her mizonot from the estate. But his children, the ibayit lemechad anachasa be'ed achad lematzunachti, if they would like to go and start selling or dealing with the estate based on one witness, they can't do that. So we also don't give them mizonot. Right? So now, my davar acher, parenthetically, in that bright that said we don't give davar acher. We had this earlier in the Masechet. Rav Chista amar tachshit, he said that refers to jewelry, you don't give her that. Rav Yosef amar tzedakah, extra money for her to give out as tzedakah. Man damar tachshit, kol shekein tzedakah. So according to the one who says that it means tachshit, that we don't give her, certainly we don't give her tzedakah, which is for others. However, according to the mandamar that says that we don't give her tzedakah, but we do give her tachshit, because the husband would not want her to be unattractive. Now, toshma, so we have another challenge to Shmuel. Hayivama, gimel chodeshim rishonim nizon mishal ba'ala. The husband died, no kids, she's waiting for one of the brothers to act. So for the first 3 months, when you can't do anything anyways, for the first 3 months, she is fed from her husband's estate. Mikan ve'ilach, enozenet lo mishal ba'alav lo mishal yavam. She's not fed by either, she's on her own. Amad b'din uvarach, but let's say that the avam was brought to din, and he was told, you either give her chalitz or give her yibum, and that means by that point, by the way, at that point, he's chayav b'mizonot, and he ran away, nizonot mishal yavam, then we do feed her based on the avam, and here we have no reason to think that we heard that the avam died, so this is a clear challenge to Shmuel. So Shmuel would answer as follows. Both explanations of why I took my position don't fit here. If you think because of the consideration that a husband may have given his wife metaltaline food to feed her, but the Yavam isn't close to this Yavam, that he might give her stuff. If it's because of an arrangement that the husband and wife had, of the wages, lo mishtabdale. After all, the Yavamah is not mishubedah to him, which means neither of the explanations for why Shmuel said in a regular case, the Beit Din would not go and take from the estate to feed the wife. Neither one of those explanations applies to a Yavamah, and therefore, in the case of Yavamah, we would feed her. Toshma, ha'isha shalchahil v'alam denatayam, uva v'amra met ba'ali. A woman who went with her husband to overseas, and she came back and said, Mate Bali, we had many cases like that in Yivamot. Ratzta nizonet, if she wants, she can take food from the estate. Ratzta guva ktuba tar, if she wants, she can collect her ktuba. Gershani Bali, if she comes back and says, my husband divorced me, mit parneset v'olechet ad kedei ktuba ta. She can only collect food up until the point that it equals the amount of the ktuba, and then she's done. So, achanamik sham boshemate. So again, we're going to say that this is a circumstance where we also heard that he died, not just based on her words, but we heard that he died, and that's how Shmuel will explain it. Now, of course, we're seeing throughout the sugya that Shmuel is consistently the one who is challenged, because all of the reports seem to support Rav. Now, omashta ad kedek tuvata, parenthetically, in the case where she said Gershani, why do we only give her mizonot until the value of the ktubah? The answer is the opposite of nafsha. She came back with this report that her husband divorced her. So really, at that point, she should get a ktubah on the spot, and that would be finished. She wants to take mizonot, fine, but only up until the ktubah. Now, toshma, let's see another one. Ketzad amru mema'enet ein la mizonot. So we said that a mema'enet, remember mema'enet is one who had kiddusha ektana, the girl who was underage and who was married off by her mother or brothers, and then she can walk out at the age of 12. When do we say she has no mizonot? That can't be when she's married. Her husband has to feed her. And here's the scenario. The husband went away. She borrowed money, and she ate. And then afterwards, she walked out on him. And therefore, the husband now cannot be held accountable to pay back that loan. Tama demiana, but the only reason that he doesn't have to pay it is because she actually did miyun. Halomiana yahavinan la, which means that if she didn't do miyun, she borrowed money and then the husband came back and she didn't walk out on him, then he does have to pay back the loan. Why is that? So how will Shmuel explain that? Again, we have a case where we feed the woman while the husband's away. Again, neither of the concerns that we have in a normal case will apply here, just like with the Yavamah. She's a ktanat, which means that the issue of tsurari can't apply. We saw that earlier. If it's because of the possibility of the maseyadaim, ktanalo safka, in a normal case, a young girl doesn't make enough that they would have made such an arrangement that I won't feed you and you keep your own wages. And therefore, there's no reason to be concerned. Now, my havela, finally, after all this discussion, how do we rule? Because we see we also went to great length to defend Shmuel, and Shmuel is somebody worth defending, of course. Ki'atar Rav Dimi Amar, Rav Dimi brought one report about how this was dealt with in Eretz Yisrael. Ma'aseh ma'lifnei Rebbe b'Beit Sharim, we discussed a couple daf ago, Rebbe was really in Beit Sharim, and then when he got sick, they took him to Tzipori, and he was buried back in Beit Sharim. So a case happened with Rebbe in Beit Sharim, u'pasak la'mizonot. And Rebbe, in such a case, said, the husband's away, we're going to go to his estate and give the wife money for food. Lifnei Rabbi Shmuel b'Tzipori, they went to Rabbi Shmuel, that's Rabbi Shmuel b'Rabbi Yossi, up in Tzipori, v'lo pasak l'mizonot, and he didn't. Tohi bar Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Yochanan was surprised when he heard about this. He wasn't, this is later, but when he heard about this report, Rabbi Dimi says that Rabbi Yochanan was surprised. Chima Rabbi Shmuel sh'lo pasak l'mizonot, he was surprised about Rabbi Shmuel. He said the same thing that we had on the previous Amud. He said that, after all, the machloket in our Mishnah is only about the Shavua, but everybody agrees you give her food. Amar Rav Shaman Bar Abba, so a Talmid said to Rav Yochanan, Kvar Tirgama Rabbeinu Shmuel B'Bavel, our contemporary, our teacher Shmuel and Bavel, explained it, Shisham Bo Shemet, that our Mishnah is talking about Shisham Bo Shemet, and without that, we don't feed her. Amar Le Patritu Ba'Kulei Hai, you've solved everything. Ki'atza Ravin Amar, so when Ravin came, remember Ravin was in the other trade, and besides Rav Dimi, he brought a different report. Really, the opposite report. Maseba lefnei Rabbi Veitcharim velo pasak lamizanot. If you don't read Shmuel b'Tzipori, you pasak lamizanot. And I'm Rabbi Yochanan, mara'a Rabbi shelo pasak la. And then Rabbi Yochanan was, again, either way, the consistency is, Rabbi Yochanan was surprised by the one who didn't give him his anot. In this case, it's Rabbi. And again, he says, to halonach laku chanan of nekoanim galim al nian shua av amizanot yavin and la. I'm Rabbi Shalom bar'aba, kvar tigma Shmuel b'bavel, kshishamu bo shemet. I'm Rabbi Patri tuba kulehai. Again, the same story, just the opposite players. And so now the sugya winds up and says, V'hilchataka v'teda Rav. First of all, we rule like Rav. That poskin mizonot le'shirish. Second, poskin mizonot. V'hilchataka v'teda Rav hun amarav. By the way, the halacha also follows, and this was mentioned in our sugya, it follows something else that Rav taught that we heard from Ravuna. Ravuna amarav, v'cholai shash tamar l'balai, in his own dveni osa. The woman has the right to say, I will not take your food, and I will keep my own wages, but the husband doesn't have the right to say that, which is what we had in the previous Amud, that the woman is the driver in that, and can say, if she's making enough money, she could say, I'll keep my wages and don't feed me. And Hilchot Takavatei Rav Zvid. Now this has nothing to do with anything we've been talking about. It's talking about a particular kind of vessel, a kunya, which is some sort of a vessel that has a lead covering over it. And as far as it absorbing things that would make it chametz stick or tray for yayinesach or whatever, but the reason it's mentioned here, the Ritva points out, is that all of these three rulings were finalized on the same day in the Beit Din. So therefore, they in the Beit Midrash. Demarav Zvid, Hani Mani de Kunya, these kind of vessels, Chivri V'yuchmi, the white ones and the black ones, Sharu, they're mutter, because they don't absorb anything. Yerukin Asiri, the green ones, absorb. V'lom Ran Ela de Leipo Kartufni, the black and white ones, it's only if they don't need bumps. If they have little bumps, then they absorb also, and they're indeed asur. But again, that last piece has nothing to do with our sugya, and is only mentioned, as the Ritva said, because it was discussed in the same session of the Beit Midrash. Okay, Mirtz Hashem, in the next podcast, we'll pick up at the bottom of Daf Kuf Zayin, I would bet, with the next Mishnah, the next ruling of Hanan, and afterwards we will get to the rulings of Admon. Everyone should have a wonderful day.